Thank you for choosing to listen to a Sword of the Lord audio production. We pray this message will be a blessing and help as you serve Christ and bring others to Him. As we join the many who are gathered for this meeting, please ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart.
All right, you ready? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 said, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin." The blood is a main message of the Bible. It's a central theme. It runs like a scarlet thread from Revelation, or from Genesis, all the way through the last chapter of the book of Revelation on every page of the Bible. Years ago, the modernists began to attack the blood and take from their hymn books all the songs about the blood of Christ and substituted His dying for His bleeding. In recent days, others have begun to attack the blood of Christ. But let me see if I can show you the importance of the blood of Christ. The Old Testament has four divisions: Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. When Jesus walked on the road with the Emmaus disciples, the Bible said He began in Moses and expounded on them in all the scriptures of things concerning Himself. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. If you asked me to find the central theme, the central message of the Pentateuch, I'd say it would be the feast. And I'd say the Feast of the Atonement would be the main feast there. And the main verse in the midst of that is Leviticus 17, verse 11, which simply says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." So the blood would be the central theme of the Pentateuch. If you asked me to come to the book of the prophets and go through all the prophetic books of the Bible, I think all of you would quickly agree that Isaiah has to be the greatest of all the prophetic books. Isaiah is the Bible in miniature. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah, and there are 66 books in the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And if you take the chapters in Isaiah and read the first 39 representing the Old Testament, you'd find they deal with justice and judgment. But if you begin and read the last 27 books, you would find they begin and end with forgiveness and remission. If you ask me to pick out the greatest chapter in Isaiah without hesitation, and I think all would agree who know the Bible, it had to be Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, you have 12 verses. And in those 12 verses, you have 12 mentions of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Martin Luther said Isaiah 53 is so precious that it should be written on a parchment of gold and lettered with diamonds. You ask me to pick out the main verse in Isaiah chapter 53, I have to say it's verse 5 and 6. "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." In the midst of all the prophetic books, and in the heart of the greatest of all prophetic books, the book of Isaiah, is that theme, the blood of Christ. You move from the Pentateuch through the prophets and to the Psalms, and you take the main part of the Psalms. It has to be Psalm 22 and 23 and 24. Psalms 22 is the cross psalm. It describes the sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cross in detail many years before He was ever nailed to the tree. Psalm 23 is what I call the crook psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." The staff, the crook in the staff. And Psalm 24 is one, believe it or not, I memorized in public school when I was a little boy. Who is this King of glory? It's the crown psalm. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. But you ask me to pick out the main psalm of those three that constitutes the hearts of the psalms, and I'd say Psalm 22 that describes His sufferings on the cross, and there you have again the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is a central theme of the Old Testament. The central theme of the Pentateuch, the central theme of the prophets, the central theme of the Psalm. And then you come to the New Testament, you take the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if I say, of the three, which would you say would be the central of the Gospels? Well, let's just break it down and show you something. Of all the four Gospels, the Gospel of John is printed more than any other Gospels and printed out and passed out. Men pass out, when they can't pass out the entire Bible, they're passing out copies of the Gospel of John. Why are they passing out John? Because John has the message in it. The message of salvation. And you ask me to find the heart of the Gospel of John, I don't think I'll have trouble getting you to agree with this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here in the heart of the Gospels again is that theme, the blood of Jesus Christ. You take the epistles. And I won't argue with you about it, but in my opinion, it has to be Romans. Because Romans is discussing salvation again. And it's telling what you, how bad you need to be saved by describing your condition in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, and in chapter 4. It tells you how you cannot be saved. And then chapter 5 starts off telling you how you can be saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you give the plan of salvation, if you're like myself, you give them the Romans road. And the verse you show them when you're trying to explain that Christ died to pay our sin debt is Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm saying the blood of Jesus Christ is the central theme of the Bible. It goes through the Bible like a scarlet thread from Genesis to Revelation. You take the blood out of the Bible, you don't have a book. And it bothers me when men begin to try to subtly destroy the main message of the Bible. First, I'll tell you it's innocent blood. And that cannot be said of any other blood that ever flowed in any other human being's body. Matthew 27, verse 4, Judas said, I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood. Jesus Christ lived 33 years on this earth. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says, He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. He never sinned in attitude, action, thought, or motive. When Pilate turned Him over to the angry mob, he said to that mob, I find no fault in Him! And His wife said to Him, I suffered many things in a dream because of this just man. And yet Ecclesiastes 7:20 said, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Yes, there is one. Jesus Christ. The thieves crucified one on one side, the one on the other. One thief turned to the other thief and said, you and I are getting what we rightly deserve, but this man has done nothing amiss. It's a word we don't use now, but it means wrong. Even the thieves admitted did anything wrong. Jesus Christ turned to the devil one day and he said, the prince of this world has come and has nothing in me. He has something in you though, because you have an S-I-N nature that the devil can get a hold of like a handle on a pot. And he can manipulate your life and run your life. But Jesus said, I don't have a handle in me you can get a hold of. I don't have the sin nature in me. He never sinned one time. He had no sin nature. There's a debate on whether or not he could not sin. He wasn't born like you were born. When you were born, you inherited the sin nature from your parents, and they got it from their parents, and they got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam. But when Jesus Christ was born, he wasn't the offspring of Adam. He's called the only begotten Son of God. We're God's sons by regeneration, but he's the only begotten Son of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is innocent blood. It's the purest blood that ever flowed in anybody's veins or ever will flow in anybody's veins. I might say, number two, that it's incomparable blood. You can't type it in the blood bank. You draw it a little and put it in a vial and take it to the Red Cross and say, found a type for this blood. And they'll be looking till the cows come home and never found a type for that blood. M.R. DeHaan, in his book on the chemistry of the blood, M.R. DeHaan was a medical doctor. He said that the male supplies the blood for the baby. that being the case, when Jesus Christ was conceived, He was conceived of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. And the seed that produced Jesus did not come from the loins of any man anywhere in the world. She was a spotless, sinless virgin, and God miraculously overshadowed her and implanted her the seed that came from heaven. And that blood can't be typed in a blood bank. It's incomparable blood. I might also tell you that it's invaluable blood. How shall you put a price on one drop of it? Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood. The word precious means valuable. Valuable blood. To make fun of the most holy thing in the world sort of angers me. To have a man laugh at the blood of Christ angers me. Why? Because it's an essential. It's invaluable. Oh, precious blood. Oh, precious lamb. Thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. It's invaluable blood. It's precious blood. Let me quickly say that it's inseparable blood. And I want to park here. Several years ago, I wrote a little article on the Sword of the Lord, and I called attention to a man's teaching on the West Coast. This man is a well-respected Bible teacher, and many of you read after him. And in his article, he wrote about the blood of Christ. He said it was His dying, not His bleeding, that saved me. It sounded so intelligent when he wrote, if Jesus Christ had bled and not died, that would not have purchased salvation. Hence, it is His dying, not His bleeding, that saved me. I wrote this man a letter. I said, Dear John, you said if Jesus Christ had bled and not died, that would not have purchased salvation. I said, John, if Jesus Christ had died and not bled, that would not have purchased salvation. That'd be heresy. I just said it opposite in the way you said it. I said, John, you cannot separate His bleeding from His dying. It had to be a blood death. If Jesus Christ had died by strangulation, it would not have purchased salvation. If Jesus Christ had died by drowning, it would not have purchased salvation. If He had died by hanging, it would not have purchased salvation. It had to be a blood death. It had to be a violent death. Blood had to be shed. I said, John, you can't separate His bleeding from His dying. And when some Bible teacher comes along and tries to split the truth too thin, you better stop. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing! And John wrote back and said, Dear Curtis, he said, down in Egypt's land, they were instructed to kill a little lamb and put its blood on the door. He said the blood was only a symbol of the death of the lamb. It was a dying of the lamb, not the lamb's blood that saved him. I wrote back and said, you can get blood from a lamb without him dying. Why kill the lamb? The blood is not a symbol of his death. I said, John, if you want a symbol of his death, hang the dead carcass up there. Now you know he's dead. Don't you understand you can cut a lamb's leg and get the blood out without him dying and put the blood on the door and the lamb will have to die? No, the blood was not a symbol of the death of the lamb. The blood was what God required on the doorpost. He didn't say, when I see the death of the lamb. He didn't say, when I see the carcass of the lamb. He said, when I see the blood of the lamb. It's not what you think about it. It's what God thinks about it. Hang the carcass up and see what happens when the angel comes through. Well, John MacArthur told us it was just the death. The blood wasn't important, so we hung his carcass up here. That really show he died. He'd say, you should listen to me and not John. And when you get to heaven, you're going to sing a little song. Thou art worthy. And God wrote this song. Because I hast redeemed us by thy death. Thou art worthy because I hast redeemed us by thy death. That's John's song. That's not your song. Out of every kindred, out of every nation, out of every tongue. Ooh-wee! The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. When you sing songs about the blood, don't look down like you're ashamed of it. Hold your head up high and open your eyes up wide and sing it. Have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? Down south, they say, are you washed in the blood? What's the rest of it? You don't even know that song? We better learn it. Have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the... Yeah, that's in the chorus. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed? I have to put the tune to it, sing it. In the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that song? Yeah, I'm washed in the blood. A little tongue-tied girl was trying to sing a song. She was trying to sing a little chorus entitled, My Sins Are Gone, He's Blotted Them Out. But she couldn't say blotted very good. And the sweet little thing sung, My sins are gone, He's blooded them out. And mine are gone, He's blooded them out. John not only said the blood could be separated from his death, he later admitted to me in a letter it could not. After about two or three letters of correspondence, he said, well, you can't separate it, but he never would publicly tell people that. He stuck with that little article he wrote, not his bleeding, but his dying. No, John, his bleeding and his dying. The blood is inseparable. You can't separate his bleeding from his dying. You don't have salvation. That's it. That's period. That's it. But John said to me, in fact, he said in his article, the blood of Christ was like any other man. It poured out on the ground and decayed in the sands there somewhere in Jerusalem. I wrote back and said, John, that's where this letter came from, by the way. I mean, this sermon came from a letter I wrote to John. Y'all know John. He wasn't a general in the army. But you know John. I said, John, not only is it inseparable, but I got hung up on my eyes. I said, it's innocent. It's invaluable. I said, it's incomparable. Then I said, John, it is also incorruptible. You said it blew out on the ground and corrupted in the sands over in Jerusalem. I said, the blood of Christ is not corruptible. It's incorruptible. It didn't rot in the sand in Jerusalem. You say, how do you know? Because I believe the Bible. In 1 Peter 1:18 says, you were not redeemed or bought with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the incorruptible blood of Christ. Isn't that easy? I said, John, why do you find it so hard to believe that the blood is incorruptible when you don't believe the body is incorruptible? I said, Psalm 16, verse 10 says of Jesus, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, neither will thou leave his soul in hell. That's why Jesus was raised after 3 days and nights. Because on the fourth day, they thought corruption set in. Remember, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and they said, roll away the stone. Said, no, no, he's been dead 4 days. By now, he stinketh. By now, he's beginning to rot and decay. But Jesus came out after 3 days and nights before the fourth day came. Because the Bible had said, thou wilt not suffer or allow thy Holy One to see corruption. I said, John, how can you believe that his flesh and bones are incorruptible, but his blood is corruptible? The blood of Jesus Christ is just as fresh today as it was the day it flowed from his veins. Jesus said before He left this earth, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father," after His resurrection. "Don't touch me. I hadn't gone to my Father." And later, He said to Thomas, "Thrust your hand on my side and feel." Now, why would He say, "Don't touch me," and later say, "Touch me"? Because I hadn't gone to my Father yet. I believe He ascended back into heaven and offered the blood in heaven for our sins. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. You're not going to put any dried up blood in a fountain. John can't sing there's a fountain filled with blood. He thinks the blood's dried up over yonder in the desert sands. But we can sing there's a fountain filled with blood. Hooray! Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. It's innocent blood. It's invaluable blood. It's incomparable blood. Are you listening to me? It's inseparable blood. You can't separate His bleeding from His dying. It's incorruptible blood. It will not corrupt. I close with this one. It's indispensable blood. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm Baptist. A chicken that won't crow in his own barnyard or wring his neck and make chicken and dumplings out of it. I'm Baptist. What would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. That's what I'd be. I'm Baptist. Make no apologies. I'm Baptist. But hold on a moment. The baptistry is dispensable. I'm not a Carmelite. A Carmelite's the only light that won't shine. The frogs in Middle Tennessee know the Carmelite's verses by memory. The little frogs say, "Axe, axe, 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 axe." And the big frogs say, 238, 238, 238. You don't know much about the Carmelites, I see. The baptistry is dispensable. You can be saved without being baptized. Bob Jones Sr. said, "If you can't get them baptized, let them go to heaven dry cleaned." Every Christian ought to tithe. He's a thief and robbing God if he doesn't tithe. But that's dispensable. The only thing that's not dispensable is the blood of Christ. It's indispensable. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That's it. How could anybody get so mixed up on such an important doctrine? It's innocent blood. It's invaluable blood. It's incomparable blood. It's incomparable blood. It's inseparable blood. And it's indispensable blood. It's the main message of the Bible. I intend to preach it until I die. And when I get to heaven, I intend to see the Savior who shed that blood. What's that song that goes, "In shady green valleys, pastures"? Help me. Yeah. I have to sing it to remember the words, you know. "Shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children alone, where the waters cool flow at the weary one's feet. God leads His dear children alone. Some through the valleys, some through the flood, some through the fire." But all through the blood. Let's stand together, please.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4255. 1-800-480-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.